Hello and welcome to episode 4 of the Broken Gun podcast. A podcast about shooting, but mainly about drinking and swearing. This week we have some guests, one of our off-times, on-off host from that there Australia, and an actual guest. I'm Lloyd Patterson, of YouTube, I guess, and I'm joined by my co-host, Eddie.
Hello, my name's Eddie. I'm from the Somerset Hunters, and I'm slightly hungover, so I apologise for anything I say.
I do wish that you guys could see Eddie today, because he looks stellar. He looks absolutely stunning. A picture of health. Haircut, though.
Home job.
It does look like somebody attacked him with a scissors. That's fine.
I thought he was going for like a Baldrick thing.
Yes. Blackadder goes fourth.
I reckon next time they should try and do it when the lights are on.
Yeah, your old man tried saying that to your ma, but she wouldn't have none of it either.
He's here all week.
Okay, and we're also joined by Bruce.
Today, I'm Bruce from Instagram, Bruce's Shooting, the land down under, where we are 10 days and 3 years behind everyone else in the world.
And have you got any fires or, like, you know, terrible disasters going on
this week? This week's been amazing. There's been no fires, no floods, no coronavirus. We banned it all. ScoMo has done his job and said, you're all out, we're good. So we've had a week of uninterrupted sunny weather.
Lovely.
It's locusts for you next week.
It's locusts. And the Black Plague, I hear. It's scheduled for 2 weeks from now.
Johnny.
Hello, everybody. I'm Johnny from TGS and other things, like The Broken Gun, the best podcast in the world.
Fact. Our special guest this week is FitAsk world champion Ed Solomons. Ed, say hi.
Hi, guys. I used to be good at shooting. I look forward to answering your pointless questions on chokes, cartridges, forends, and recoil pads.
So, guys, what have we been up to since the last time we did speak?
Wow. Well, I've had a very productive week. I went fox shooting last week. It was amazing.
Tell us about it.
We had a thing called a red card shoot, where the community gets together and everyone goes out and shoots foxes. It's just a country thing that's done. I think there was over 400 foxes shot for the weekend, so it turned out to be a bloody ripper weekend.
So how's that work out? How's it actually, you guys are broken up into teams, right?
So there was 15 teams. They're all split over. Not everyone's on the same farm. We shot three farms. Three of the farmers that were on our team, a total of like 27,000 acres between our team. They also then split everyone else on other farms around the Shire. You convene at the Oval on a Sunday morning for a breakfast and dump your foxes and count them up.
What team were the foxes on?
They were on the losing team.
Other than the fucking losing
skins.
Team.
Yeah. It was shirts versus skins, and the foxes were on skins.
Did you have team names? Are you allowed team names?
There was no team names. I was a little bit disappointed, but I wanted shirts as well.
Like bowling shirts.
You never normally want a bowl shirt.
Could have skinned a few of them and made them.
You know what? It was the first time I've ever hunted in a singlet all night, because it was 32 degrees until 4:30 a.m.
Does anyone else know what a singlet is?
I think it's like a white
string vest.
I'm sure you look very alpha male doing that.
Prancing
around the bush.
In the back of a ute with a spotlight.
Insert your own punchlines about prancing around the bush in your own time.
Yeah, well, I'll leave a small gap.
Australia is so far behind the bush, and prancing around it is still possible.
So it's nice to have a little bit of land that's the size of your country to shoot on, actually, for the weekend.
Yeah, that must be pleasant. So is it like just foxes or like any other ground game? Or?
Rabbits are worth 1 point. Foxes are worth 3. Cats are worth 2.
What about orphans?
Feral cats, I assume, rather than ones with like collars.
No. If you don't bring the collar in, it doesn't count as a point.
Do you get a bonus if it's got a bell on it?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's a point and a half.
Yeah, you do.
Now, the feral cats are very much a thing. They are almost more destructive than what the foxes are. They're just, the numbers aren't there.
Eddie, have you been out shooting at things and missing them this week at all?
Yes. Yes, I have. Thank you, Lloyd. Thank you for bringing that up.
No problem.
Again, there seems to be a quite a common occurrence of me telling stories of absolute failed hunting trips. So I may as well just tell you another one. I've got some nice excuses to use. So it was really cold, so I had loads of clothes on. So I couldn't mount the gun properly. It was really windy.
Mount the gun properly at the best of times.
Adults are talking, Johnny. I couldn't mount the gun properly. It was really windy, so the pigeons were flying really quickly. I was using a new cartridge I wasn't used to. My glasses were fogging up because I was wearing a mask. Is that enough excuses?
That was quite a lot.
You sound like a clay shooter now. You've got all the excuses.
Wicked, wicked. I didn't take any pens with me, and I didn't change the colour of ink or anything like that. So I just,
every time you missed that, you know, that's all right, that was a no burn.
It's surprising how easy it is to do that, apparently. But I've missed your hunting post because I've not seen a bag of three pigeons for a couple of weeks. So
yeah,
well, the only person I know who goes pigeon shooting, you bring back more fucking decoys. You do pigeons.
You buy the realistic ones. You can still blag an Insta pic, Ed, because I'm one of those beggy Instagram influencers talking about.
Hashtag #FF16 Rim Master 4000 pigeon attractor. That's used by all the pros.
That's a nice little segue onto Edward's eyewear, isn't it?
it's been a couple of minutes.
What's that you say? What about
you said? Fine handmade glasses that I can procure for you, sir.
Should we not find out what boring, pompous shit Johnny's been up to as well?
Please.
Yes. What have your servants been up to this week, Johnny?
I gave them a few days off. It was very, very difficult running only with 21 staff.
Drew,
I see.
How is the estate coping?
How is the drainage in the lower field?
Well, I was waiting for the pigeons to come in, but some pikey on my boundary keeps going out and shooting like two at a time.
Johnny, I've somehow just switched over here and just seen your picture because I've got the other four guys on the screen, or the other three guys and me. You look like a really sort of budget rap artist with your baseball hat and your little microphone in front of you.
Well,
are you going to do a freestyle?
It's all in the big Bruce's Shooting thing. Right? This is it. It's supposed to be gangster, as the whole Bruce's Shooting brand is.
Absolutely, very much so. Proceed.
Let me warm up and I'll continue doing your rap at the end of this.
I want this to be like a remake of 8 Mile. Like the most middle class 8 Mile going. I am white. I am a fucking bum. I do live in a mansion with my mum.
Fuck, we've broken him.
We've rolled him off.
I'm out.
Someone ring an ambulance.
Broken him.
Rocks mic and scuttles off.
Fucking hell. Wake me up when this
a
is fucking done with you.
Top.
What else have you done there, Johnny?
Yeah, have you actually done anything?
I went to the north.
Ah, and why? Really?
Sorry, Lloyd, I went to the south.
Yeah.
How were the White Walkers? Were the White Walkers good?
No, the snow had melted. The White Walkers had retreated further north. It was miserable. It was just very cold. There was no snow to show for it. It was full of northerners who are nice people, but they're just a very long way away.
Yes, and then
don't fucking lie, back. Johnny.
What is please, north please. For you, Johnny, out of interest? Or where's your
I can
cutoff?
Dip my toes 10 metres south and they are in the finest southern ocean.
So, essentially, all of England?
Swindon. It's pretty far north.
London.
Bristol for me. South Bristol.
The M4 is a good line. Anything above the M4 is pretty poor.
Didn't you drive 7.5 hours to look at seagull shit?
Oh, that is the story, yeah. We drove 5.5 hours to film about an hour with Rebecca's working on dogs, which is great. And then because the north is not great, to get 20 miles takes 2 bastard hours across the top of some mountains, and they are mountains, and then walked up onto a moor. And it was beautiful to look a bit of seagull poo, which, to be fair, ecologically is devastating. So it is an interesting subject, but I wasn't particularly in the mood for it after the 3 a.m. start and 8 hours in the car up to that point.
You should have messaged me. I could have just sent you a picture of some of mine and you could have blagged it. Yeah, what the fuck is this seagull
been
eating?
1 foot tall, white, make a fuckload of noise.
Full of bones.
Sits on piers, shouting at kids.
I'm not allowed near him anymore.
Speaking of sitting on piers shouting at kids, what have you been up to this weekend?
Well, we'll brush over that bit. It's been another thrilling installment in my life. I've shot an iPhone with a catapult, rendering it completely useless. I found out this morning. I got it back, and it is technically it is no more. So I've been out procuring an extra one. So yes, if anyone wants any tips on particularly expensive trick shots with catapults, I am your man. Other than that, as per the last few weeks, not much. Doing some stuff, getting a new website knocked up, just posting a few bits out, doing a bit of fishing and waiting for normality to resume, which I think could be something of a wait.
What's the website for?
It's my only fans. I've not done anything with my coaching website for about 6 or 8 years because I just basically haven't needed to. I've just sort of got on with it. And I thought, if I'm going to do one thing that's productive this lockdown, and I think it might be just one thing, I'm going to get my website ripped down and started again. So it's getting rebuilt and redone. So that's sort of in the pipeline. It should be done hopefully next week. Just kind of keen to get cracking again. But I don't think, I mean, I know those are people are knocking on about this Monday being we're all going to be let out. We're clearly not. I think shooting outdoors stuff is going to be probably another month, I reckon.
I would agree.
I've been out and drilled a few pigeons, done a bit of fishing, but yeah, just pretty boring stuff. And to be honest, keeping on top of keeping in touch with customers and building a list of people who are sort of for some reason want to come to me for coaching, which is beyond me. But
where is your home stomping ground in terms of where do you coach if people?
I split my time between Sporting Targets in Bedford and Grimthorpe in Lincolnshire, and I do go to the places. I go Churchill's, which is a bit further south, which is lovely. I get over to Doveridge occasionally, which is further west, but I'm pretty much at either Sporting Targets or Grimthorpe there too. I think the
Did
two
I not
probably the best.
See you on Instagram out shooting some deer the other day, or was that pre-lockdown?
Yeah, that, no, you're right. No, that was, yeah, good point. I shot my first Chinese water deer with Paul Childerly, which was fantastic fun. In fact, shot my first two. So yeah, I'm definitely not a riflist, I believe is what you chaps would call it. What I know about shooting rifles and shooting deer, you could write on the back of one of your thumbnails. But it was really, really good fun, and I'm actually going to do a bit more of it, which is good. Paul's a great lad, and he's got a beautiful place to shoot out of. Did that.
Well done,
Bruce. Delicious, absolutely delicious. I wouldn't necessarily be able to offer, unless I had them all back to back, I wouldn't be able to tell you too much different, but I had the back straps off one, and beautiful. So gets the thumbs up from me.
And they're the size of a small cat. How do you get back straps off the size of a small cat?
You must have some massive cats.
Feral cats are big here. Big.
Yeah, I'd say they're sort of small dog size, small to medium sized dog.
A small cocker.
That's some small tenderloin.
I have, but I'd rather you didn't draw attention to it on this podcast. Penis joke you ought to enjoy there. Thank you very much.
Johnny, I saw you got a head, which was quite a nice one.
I shot that last month.
Tell the story.
I shot that last month, actually. I've been trying to shoot a half-decent muntjac for years, absolute years. And eventually, one day, one stepped out in front of me, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to shoot it. It's not the best story in the world, but it's one of those times when you go out and you just expect absolutely nothing and everything goes to plan, and it was epic. And I just had it done by the Wiltshire Redneck.
So it's a cracking head.
Hopefully in a couple of days. Yeah, 74.85 CIC points, which is big to anyone who doesn't know or care what 74.85 points.
Hey, that's a rather short story considering such a long post that you put on Instagram today about how you impressed it, loved it, and wrote up a full biography.
Yeah,
well,
I'm not going to waste an hour of everyone's time.
It's favourite colour.
Right, we had a lovely chat. I sat down, he came, sat on my lap, and they said, you know what, you can shoot me. Ran 100 yards away and let me shoot him.
All right, chap. So, In terms of news, there hasn't obviously been a great deal happening. We are looking at the possibility of reopening soon, so there's possible shooting on the horizon by spring. I guess the big news, or kind of the only news that's worth talking about really, that's happened in the last week or so, is the closure of or the potential closure of Clay Shooting, Sporting Rifle, and Sporting Gazette, or Shooting Gazette, I should say, all owned by Future, and all now being amalgamated into other magazines in their stable. Now, I am a sometime contributor to Clay Shooting magazine. I know, Ed, you've certainly written enough in various mags. I feel like this kind of the writing's been on the wall for print media for some time. Where do you think that we are headed with this? Where do you think that? Because to me, it's online or it's now. I get the mags because I'm a contributor, but like, I wouldn't buy them otherwise, I'm afraid to say.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, to put it in perspective, I suppose I don't get any magazine. I haven't for years. I don't subscribe to any magazine shooting wise. I get Pool magazine because it gets sent to me.
Yeah.
I don't read it.
You influencer.
I know.
I just cut my articles out, frame them on the wall.
He just looks at the pictures.
I just laminate the relevant bits and send them out to recycling. But yeah, I think,
you wouldn't have been able to laminate anything since 2013, would you? 14, <wait up.
laughs> Mate, he'd been milking that championship for a while. Leave him alone.
I've been milking worse things. But how is your mum?
Dead.
Love a mum joke.
It's always the easiest comeback, isn't it? That. Yeah, I think online is got to be the way to go. I can't see in 2 or 3 years, to be honest, any of them pushing on, because I can't imagine I'm that unusual in the world. I don't bother reading them. Most of your stuff you can see, whether it's on Facebook or Instagram or whatever the kids are using now. It's a shame in a way, but it is what it is. And I don't see the point in, I mean, what it costs you now to advertise, for example. I mean, I use the term offered to advertise in some of these magazines. It's mental for the number of people that you're going to be reaching. And they always use their circulation, which is, as you say, I mean, 90% of that, I suspect, ends up in a bin or on someone's coffee table, never getting used. It just isn't sustainable, is it? So I guess it's going to be more online stuff, which is, I say, more accessible for people. You don't have to hurt so many trees, which I know is a massive concern for all of us.
I've always felt that it's a smarter investment in terms of, like, you know, press resource to speak to somebody like Johnny or myself to look at, you know, and yourself at Excel, kind of to use that online free advertising, essentially, because we're hungry for content, right? So we'll take anything if we can make some content out of it. I'm not going to charge
you. Yes, you will.
Easy, Tiger. Whereas if you're like throwing money down the toilet at a magazine, in my opinion, to advertise, like, I don't know, that struck me as being a really kind of long-standing thing that's just kicked about for so long. I don't know.
I think in reality, there's a couple of things. I think there's it's a nice thing to have something, especially if it's a business of yours or it's a product or a service. It's nice to have something physical to go, oh yeah, that's nice and that looks good. But that's more of a sort of self-congratulatory back-patting thing, really, because hey, if no one sees it and no one acts off it, what's the point? And yeah, you're absolutely bang on the money there. It just seems to be a little bit of an old school thing that's inevitably going to die out. And I'm sure these won't be the last three. To be honest, until you mentioned it, I didn't know. I'm that far removed from reading stuff, especially shooting based stuff.
They were bought out not long ago, weren't they?
Yeah. The only reason I knew it was because it was on YouTube. So, you know, it kind of tells you where you get your news, you know. Who reads magazines? I genuinely haven't purchased any form of print media for as long as I can remember. To me, it's...
I have, but they're purely for the articles only.
Bruce, I don't know if you've got the internet or not in Australia, mate, but you know you can get that for now.
We did have once, and then the government banned all news. So
We
don't have the internet anymore, unfortunately.
When Bruce goes out to the outback shooting kangaroos for 5 days at a time with no signal, That's when your magazines come in.
So if anyone
exactly
is unclear, that means that Bruce is getting his scut material on Facebook. So you might want to block any pictures of your missus.
He already bought a bloody calendar with her in.
Yeah, fair enough.
Boom, I've got it right here too. It's handy in the shed. I think you're really brushing over the big news of this week of Johnny losing a $5,000 thermal.
I was getting to it. So, Johnny, have you had any fun this week with any really, really
expensive? Yeah, I went stalking a couple of days ago. I had an amazing, amazing time out. It was really good. Shot pork fallow and a muntjac buck. It was in a lovely little session. Good couple of hours. And then I got home and they went out to go out a couple of days later. And guess where my thermal was? Somewhere in the woods.
Oh,
it's just sad. It's not a nice story. It's just
sad. But I mean, look on the bright side. If you work it out for the number of animals you shot and you work it out per, you know, work it out on like a per bird basis, it's not that bad. I mean, what do you shoot? Say five?
Yeah, £500 an animal to see him. Yeah, I mean, luckily I've had it for more than just that one session. I haven't had it long enough to lose the damn thing. Hey, that's life.
It could have always been worse, John. It could have happened to one of us.
Exactly.
So, any manufacturers of thermals out there who want to get in touch with Johnny, don't send him anything because you'll never get it back. Have you sorted out your insurance, or what's happening?
Yeah, it's all on the house insurance. It's just time.
Yeah, fair enough.
Just time.
I recommend next time you're out, try shooting it with a catapult.
I mean, that's the best thing to do. Yeah. If you just completely destroy it on purpose, it's not even accidental. Is that accidental damage?
I think it's a tough call to call it accidental when you put it 2 foot behind a target you're shooting at and try and video you doing it.
And here's us thinking you were a good shot, Eddie.
Yeah, not with one of them.
Not got enough jibber in you.
Another topic of conversation that has, shall we say, interested us this week is a debate on forends. There is quite a divide in the group on the subject. Johnny and I very much on the rounded sort of semi beaver tail stroke, English stroke, US forend. Bruce is very much a schnabel friend. He likes a uncomfortable beak. Eddie doesn't care.
Eddie doesn't have an opinion because he didn't know what it was.
I wasn't going to say that, but yeah.
True story.
Eddie, mate, if you grind the schnabel off of your Maruku, it makes all Marukus better.
Blah, blah, blah. Who gives a fuck about a forend?
You might actually make it hit some more birds. Time when,
who cares? Shh, Johnny, no. Who cares? It's a fucking forend. If you don't like it, move your fucking hand.
Glad someone else said it. it's nice to see we're addressing the pressing issues in the sport now.
Oh, yeah.
Who likes
us? Nothing left to talk about it. We've all covered that modified and modified is the only choke to shoot. So we're now on the forends. We're going to create our own discussion.
Eddie, blow the honk. Quick.
Yeah, I was going to say, surely your goose noise is going to come out in a minute for play shooting.
It's fucked now. I've got to put new batteries in the bin now, haven't I?
Something a little nearer. Foreskins.
Now, this is something I can get involved in.
This is something you're very passionate about.
Again and again and again.
The WhatsApp group with us is eclectic, shall we say, and the subjects come up. And it turns out that the roundheads outnumber the polar necks in this particular environment by 3-2.
I'm putting my hand up for no wizard sleeve here.
Absolutely. Majestic.
Yeah,
Ed, have you got enough dick that you're happy to cut some off? Is that basically what you're saying?
I definitely haven't, but it's been done anyway. So,
against your will.
You've got to make do with what you've got.
Dear. Wow.
Lloyd, did you have yours done as an adult?
Yes.
Was that when you started clay shooting? Because you lot are all fucking weird.
No. It was the result.
It will help me with my swing.
It's all part of my pre-shot routine.
It was when he was into competitive cycling. It cuts down the drag.
That's what it is.
It's like that, it's like that parachute that's just been deployed on the Mars rover thing. It's knitted down your neck of the woods. It's made out of old foreskins.
It billows in the wind as you ride along.
Just going around.
It's standard item here in Australia. It's too hot not to have one. You can't go.
Surely you want
every
some
2 hours.
Shade. You want some shade for it, don't you? Why would you cut off a fucking sunroof? Fucking weirdo.
Well, surely if you take it off, you could use it as like a little parasol.
We've got some of the best breeds of cows in the world that make cheese. You don't need all these foreskins.
What do you do with all the spare foreskins? Do they go into some sort of like making tiny hats for mice or something? I don't know.
It's the obvious choice, isn't it?
This is an Australian made of Kubra. They're also made out of foreskins.
Nice.
Magic little hat.
Bruce has got a foreskin Stetson. Lush.
They do smell a little bit at the start, but once you wear them in, they're fine.
Sexy.
Well, the broken.
See, I don't feel like we need to defend ourselves, Eddie, because.
We don't. We're right.
You were supposed
we're right,
to,
they're wrong.
You were born with a foreskin. It's a bit like saying,
exactly.
Yeah, I cut a finger off. It's much better. Why? You're supposed to have 5, you dickhead.
Oh, I don't know if your analogy is very good.
You're saying you're meant to have 5 fingers.
Unless you live in Somerset.
North, yeah.
Unless you live in Somerset.
I mean, I think it's normal to have 10, isn't it?
Well, technically 8 and 2 thumbs.
Well, 8 and 2 thumbs, yeah. I think if you've got 5, you've had some terrible accident where you're from. This isn't place meeting.
Everyone get back in the hide. The goose shuts up coming over. Eddie needs to miss it a couple of times.
Oh, sorry. I forgot to tell everybody that every time I think the conversation's getting stale, I'm going to hit this goose call really badly.
I thought that was just about clay shooting.
No, I've decided that I'm going to go...
Foreskins are boring as well, apparently.
Yeah, foreskins are boring. Or lack
you've got
of
one.
Them. Lack of them is boring.
It's, oh, okay. He blows it whenever he gets to a subject that he knows next to nothing about, so... We're gonna be blowing that.
We're gonna say, is it got battery life?
Yeah.
Well, next on the list, or
if Eddie's contribution to today is just going to be doing that, that's fine.
Can you just mute me now, Lloyd? That'd be a lot easier. I think
I'd probably
Sweet. Cool. Take care, guys. Thanks very much for listening to me. Bye bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Ed. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
So we posted a video earlier in the week asking for questions for Ed since he was going to be on the show. Most of them were, and I'm being brutally honest here, crap. Nobody cares what cartridges he uses or choke or, you know, the usual.
Whole Pro Ones, pair of halves, there you go.
Ta-da! Question answered. Never, ever, ever ask it again, right? Stop.
You would think that there's got to be some sort of record for the same questions coming up, because I'm pretty sure it's the same people asking them as well. When you do one of those question and answer things, there's normally about 30 people who ask exactly the same thing. What's your favourite shell? Do you prefer 7.5s or 8s? What chokes do you use?
You should put it in your bio.
Yeah, I could do, or I could just not.
Browning or Maruku.
But yeah, you need to sort of like just have a pinned post at the top of everything going, right, these are the answers. To be fair, you normally get some fairly interesting stuff, but you've got to sort of wade through the generic dog shit. Why am I missing quartering birds?
You shit.
Difficult to guess, really. I'll go, let's say you're in front of them, right, next. Let me know how that goes.
Oh, no. There you go, Lloyd. You were asked for a gun fit over the internet.
I was last week. I was asked for a gun fit.
Oh, yes. No, you tell that story. I've got a good segue off the back of that.
Please tell that story.
So, yeah, the guy asked me for, he wanted to, I think he'd ordered a 6.94 and then went, do you think it'll fit me? Like,
well, there's two
right.
chances.
Hang on, I'll just use the force. I don't know how I'm supposed to answer that. I mean, in fairness, the lad was receptive when I said, Howie, don't be daft. I can't. But yeah, that is, I think that's a topper in terms of.
Should have just claimed to be able to do it over Zoom and charged him the money anyway.
Yes.
It's got the rest of these coaches do.
Yeah, I've been taken. Ed's given me a gun fit over Zoom.
Speaking of frauds,
why did it cost me £200?
Yeah, I was going to say it was very good value, wasn't it? Got that pitch sorted out.
Amazing. Amazing.
Best money you've ever spent.
Johnny, what's pertaining, mate?
Well, I've got two things. Firstly, I've just been on Ed Solomon's website.
Oh, this will be the old one, I hasten to add.
Good.
Well, yeah. It looks like it was done by a 14-year-old kid in a cellar.
Did you recognise the skinny, you know, chap on there at all?
Well, he's got a very, very clean-cut beard. He's like clearly cares about his image back in 2014.
Yeah, I did.
However, he didn't care about the pixelation of his Ed Solomon shooting coach. Which is something that...
I'm not a details man.
As like you said, as you're probably
going through that website, you will see. This will give you a little window into why it's getting changed now. Because I literally up until about 3 weeks ago didn't look at it, and I was like, oh god, yeah, that needs dealing with.
Oh, it's a chin strap beard as well. Nice.
It's easy. Yeah, like, very Craig David. Like, rewind selector.
Coaches. Ooh, it's a nice sight. Very nice. No,
it's a nice sight. It'd be a shame if someone was to shit on it. I can assure you that the next one's looking a little bit sharper and a little bit more switched on. Bruce might be able to have a. I think I've sent you a link to have a look at it, but
you have sent me the link.
Yeah, it's not finished.
I'm still trying to figure it out.
it's not that hard, but next week I'll give you a little look at it. How's that?
If anyone's wondering, it's edsolomons.com.
Oh, there you go.
Go take a look before he takes it down, so you can tell.
Yeah, I guess I don't look at this one.
Oh, please do.
give it a week.
Who came up with the branding first?
Who came up with the branding first? What, like the logo?
The branding, like the initials, branding.
What, you mean his name?
I was going to say, I think my mum and dad.
I'm just saying, going on Ed Solomon's website, there's something quite familiar about this. Did you come up with it first? Or did you not come up with it first? Or is that just like what all shooting instructors do?
I don't know. I've just gone onto your camera. Are you just showing something up there, mate? Sorry, I was looking at everybody else.
Right.
Yeah. That's been around for a long time. That, yeah, I can. Oh.
So you are the original and best, is what you're saying.
Oh well, you know, I'll let the results. I'll let the results speak for that. I don't.
Does
I don't
look
feel
familiar?
I don't need to feel the need to tell everyone how good I am.
I at least haven't done since 2013.
2014, stop cutting a year out for me. I've got other people winning world championships now. I don't need to do it, thankfully.
Ooh, that's where it's at.
You made a website because you won a championship. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, pretty much that was it. I got bored of laying slabs.
What else have you won, Ed? Run us through some of your accomplishments in your play target history.
This will have been through the black powder years, I think. So this would have been things like the British Open Sport Trap, the clay shooting classic. I think I missed out winning the world sporting by one in 2012.
Second place, still the first loser.
There you go.
Yeah, bridesmaid.
Thanks, Lloyd. I look forward to looking at your fucking website.
Lloyd's won a couple of county shoots, mate. He's definitely up there.
I've got a YouTube channel on guns.
Could do, mate. I look forward to seeing it. It's a Krieg off. It's good. It's not a Krieg off. It's shit.
Hey,
I just release that same video every week.
You can't argue with the facts.
There'll be lots of close-ups of your specs, though.
you are 100% right. And just zoom in on that little...
Oh, very sexy, buffalo, very sexy.
Buffalo horn and 24 karat gold, you're welcome. God, such a ponce.
What are we talking about, middle-class rappers?
Ed, what are your specs made out of? Is that corrugated iron and...
I'd say I fucking regret looking at him.
Baff and resentment. That's what my goggles are made out of.
You get a pair of those when you top up with diesel at your local garage.
For a tenner at Costco. Ah,
joke's on you. I run it on red.
Good. I was hoping you didn't pay for them.
No, fuck no, mate. Freebies. Kellogg's will give anything away these days, Ed.
He found them in a bin outside of an ophthalmologist.
All right, fuckers.
Oh, you might have found him in that hedge he looked like he was sleeping in last night. Just stole him off a dead tramp.
It's called Bush. Yeah.
Anyway, next question, Lloyd.
Anyway, back to Johnny, you were saying.
Oh, yeah, no, Lloyd, you said about online gun fits. That's an exciting thing from this week. Manuel Ricardo are doing a complete online gun fitting service thing. Ooh.
How much are you paying to get ripped off here?
We'll discuss that offline.
Oh, is that close to being, is that a bit too close to being libelous for somebody? I've seen some of the pictures. I wouldn't have the confidence to do that myself, purely because from my experience of getting a custom stock made, even when people go and get it done, you know, in person, you need to have a couple of sort of rough goes at it to let him shoot it, see the results, make some changes. The chances of starting a stock from scratch for me, and maybe this is just my experience being, you know, what it is, but your first go, even if you've got someone who's super, super, super switched on, there is going to be something
you're
that
going to be a
needs
few mil out,
just,
more than likely.
Yeah, there's going to be a bit somewhere that you're not quite happy with, which is why I always say to people, I mean, this is the thing recently where people have been super, super keen to get custom stocks made. And the number of people that don't need custom stocks is pretty big. You know, there's lots of people that something off the shelf doesn't fit. I mean, me and Bruce were having this chat the other day, and there's lots of people that can benefit from having tweaks. If you're someone who is an outlier, like a 6'5", 23 stone, or 5'2" and 7 stone wet through, you are going to need something that's completely out of the norm. The vast majority of people, firstly, don't need a custom stock. Secondly, aren't consistent enough with what they do to get the best out of a custom stock. If you want to get something done, my view has always been get a rough attempt done on your own gun. So whether it's with bog roll, electrical tape, washers, extensions, whatever, shoot it for a year without changing it to make sure you're absolutely happy with it. Then when you're super, super pleased and you know it's doing exactly what you want, then take it to someone that you trust and pretty much go, I want this made out of that piece of wood. So you're not having to rely on guesswork, because as long as they can follow instructions and measure stuff, which most of them can, not all of them, you end up getting something that you know works because you've actually shot it, whereas there's always going to be a degree of trial and error. And I'm not saying this is absolutely not digging out Manuel Ricardo, because I've seen some of the stocks that he's done and they've been really, really nice. And I know people have gone over there and been really, really,
very high.
Yeah,
his quality work
really,
is very
really,
high.
Really happy. I actually had one of my lads who is one of the sort of the larger scale, Campbell, who is, I think, probably 6'6" or 6'7", and he's a fucking big lump. And he was asking exactly this over lockdown. So, you know, I want to get something a bit more permanent done without having spaces and extensions and whatever you want.
Shit, yeah.
Yeah, which it doesn't, and it's on, you know, it's got a fantastic Heritage Scroll Krieghoff. So it's not like it's on a Lamber and it sort of sits with it. It kind of, you know,
what
it looks
about
a bit.
Lambers?
Listen, they're great. They're great guns. They're great value.
Right. Come on.
But yeah, I just said to him, I can't comment on doing it sort of over, whether it's over Zoom or filling in a measurement sheet on that, because I've not seen the results and I wouldn't feel comfortable doing it myself. And if I'm not
exactly
well,
if I'm comfortable doing it myself, yeah, I wouldn't recommend one of my guys to do it.
So I
which
think
is as simple as that.
First, the most interesting thing about what you say is that somebody has to shoot the same gun for a year. I think
I know, mind blowing.
Most people can't handle that responsibility.
No. Yep. Everyone loves the idea of a magic stock suddenly go, oh, the only reason I'm not, you know, in AAA class and shooting for England is because I don't have a custom stock.
When we know the answer is because you haven't had enough lessons from Ed Solomons.
Correct.
Or I'm frequently asked about that. People say, oh, you know, shall I get like one of these TSK stocks?
It makes you happy.
Are you confident enough to set it and then leave it alone? If the answer is no, don't. Because end up, every time you miss a fucking bird, you'll have the spanners out.
Yeah, absolutely. I've just realised I've got to plug my phone in because my battery's going, because it's a 1980s phone. There we go.
You broke your good one.
Yeah, and that is exactly it. Yeah, okay. Don't keep fucking reminding me.
Sorry, carry on.
It's all about consistency. And if you're going to spend a decent amount of money getting something done, it makes sense in my mind to make sure you're 100% happy with it. And I think there's too much guesswork involved in somebody just having a go and say, oh, we'll do this. The other thing that I'm sure Johnny will agree with, if you ask five people who all independently would be classed as knowing their own stuff and say, can you fit this gun for me? You will get five different answers and five different results.
Because there's a lot of ways to skin a cat.
Exactly that. There's certain stuff that is straight up wrong. You know, there's certain stuff which is always going to be wrong, but you've got to accept that also you're going to find there's going to be the best way for you to say, I always shoot a gun that's got a super, super high stock. I love seeing a load of rib. Would I naturally set somebody else's gun up with that? No, I'd probably set it up higher. Here it comes. You're on your vape thing there. I thought you were about to blow your horn. I was going to say, fuck off. This is
I can do if your own story for you, Ed. It's not a problem.
Yeah. Would you mind give it 30 seconds and then start making some racket? You're going to get three or four different people tell you three or four different things. The only answer for me is to find out what works for you. So that's going to involve shooting it and finding out what's good. Bruce is probably going to chip in now with exactly what we've just chatted about and your experience making changes.
Absolutely. I've got something that's reasonably close, and we discussed it at fairly length. Was it Wednesday night? You don't really know what you want until you've been shooting it a long time, I think, and then you really know what the adjust. I still don't know exactly what I want, so I'm just playing with things. I don't know what a heel or a toe is, so it's very much. I've played with a few things, and it's made a drastic difference, but I still couldn't tell you exactly what I want in a custom stock. So is this one from Manuel Ricardo? Is that a pattern stock he makes first before you pay for grade 5 walnut?
No.
Not that I'm aware of. Johnny, you might be...
No. So I am aware that if you go out there, that is an option.
Yep.
However, this one-click gun stock, that's not the case. And every single person I spoke to, well, three of them now, I suppose, are on here, Ed, if you included in that, everybody is dubious about the process. So I think it's kind of going to be a real interesting thing to see what that looks like, whether somebody can just look at something and then bash out something that it is 95% correct.
Because I've seen that sheet that you've sent me, and the sheet's detailed enough.
It's scientific. Like, there's no reason there shouldn't be a scientific way of going, this is your body shape and measurements, ergo, this stock will be...
Yeah, and I think I think from the bits that I've seen, he looks like he is taking a proper good stab at it. And this is I've not seen the results, so I'm not knocking him at all. I say the quality of his work looks super. The bit that I would be personally cautious of is that he has got his set way of taking measurements for what he views as being a correct fit for sporting or a stock. You're hoping that his view ties in with your view and how you shoot.
Yeah.
You know, if you're coming from somebody who's shot historically a super super high cone,
kitchen house burning down,
like the rape alarm, I normally take the batteries out of them.
We discussed this as well the other night at length, Ed, where I think someone who shoots sporting versus fitask, there's two different styles of fitted stock, and if that person that's fitting the stock isn't verse in that game, then you're not getting the best stock that you can have made either.
Just to drag Ed back in as well, but there's a very different style of shooting stock fit that Ed would have, like a game shooter.
Exactly.
Like a reaction shooter kind of thing versus us. So there's plenty of room and variance in terms of how you want the gun to fit. And you're relying on the person who's sort of looking at the pictures and the measurements that you've given, knowing what you want, I guess. Because I'm like you, Ed. I like a lot of rib, right? Bugalugs will attest, he shot my gun. I like a bit of rib, so and I appreciate that tends to mess with people's heads.
There is a form for that, and to be fair, so the process so far has been very interesting. Like, so it's all through WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger, and you do have quite a lot of conversations, and they ask all these questions, so I think they're not going into it blind. I'm really genuinely interested to see whether they completely cock this up or whether it's a
so are you having one done, Johnny?
Oh yeah,
cool. That's at the end of the day. That's going to be a great way of testing out whether it's
the guinea pig
good or not.
Everybody
is dubious. Sorry,
is this going on the TGS gun or the?
It's going on the Mariku. Yeah, it's going on the Mariku. Yeah, I figured that would probably.
Oh, you're not putting it on the fake Barati.
Sorry, bitter boys. That so you can go and buy your same gun for pennies, but you can't buy it. the only good thing about Krieghoff, there's no cheap copy apart from a Remington.
A Remington?
Yeah. To be fair, a Krieghoff is a copy of a Remington in reality, so you can't really say that.
I know, but currently the Turks haven't copied it yet.
No. There's too many parts in them.
I think they're too worried about getting invaded. No one dares.
I don't know if someone can replicate 167 components in a trigger. Surely that's just not.
Getting it done for the Miracle, though, Johnny, that's a smart move because, like, the headstock will be nigh on identical on nearly, what, all of them, I would have thought.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Oh, it should then fit every Browning 525. And it seemed like a wiser investment in, or a wiser choice is a better word there. I can then find someone who, you know, is the same size as the stock if it really goes wrong.
I'll be interested to see how you get on. That will be...
Well, Ed, I get it, I'll come up and I'll get your professional opinion for the conclusion on the video.
Oh,
when are you going to do one of these clay target tours with Ed Solomons? Maybe at Grimsport.
Well, he's too busy a man, happening? You see, and there's lockdowns every 5 minutes.
That's true.
Yeah, we can sort something out when we're allowed out in 2024 or something like that.
Yeah, and we go, this man won a championship 11 years ago.
back when the front cover was in black and white.
back when there was front covers.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
No, I'm going to just go and open a window because it's very smoky in here because I accidentally left some rice on.
Rice. Oopsie. That you were smoking? Surely you boil it.
Smoked rice is a delicacy where he comes from.
Very fusion.
So, I've actually got a question for all of you. Ooh. That we discussed earlier in the week that... everyone seems to have a story about the time they drank too much at a major sporting event or the night before a really big shoot that you were a pheasant shoot or whatever it may be. Everyone's got a story. I'd love to hear your stories. What do we got? Who's going to kick it off? Eddie is an alcoholic, so I'm pretty sure he's got about 1,500 of these stories.
Is Eddie still awake?
Every time he gets his gun out, I mean, judging by the state of it.
Sorry, boys, what was that? What was the question? I nodded off then. All this talk about fucking gun stocks and shit is boring the tits off me. Can we go and talk about foreskins again? That was a lot more entertaining. So I think it's probably easier if I tell you the stories when I was sober when I went shooting. It might be a bit shorter.
Because most of the times you go out are quite funny.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Yeah, I've had loads of times pissed up when I shouldn't have been. Who's next?
if this doesn't pan out for you, there's possibly a future in after dinner speaking, Eddie.
Yeah,
thanks, mate.
The way you tell him is just priceless.
I know, right? Thanks. How about you, Ed? How about you? Have you had any boo-boos?
Yeah, I've probably had a couple, I suppose. Like the one that. The one that Bruce was alluding to earlier on today was, I think it was the first year they had the shoot in Dubai. So that's 2014. Pretty sure it was the first one. Awesome event. It was fantastic fun. It had all been sort of subsidized by the government there. And it was a super duper job. I was out there with Ed Lyons, my buddy. And first day, it's all rock hard as well. It's really, really tough shoot. Great fun. Out in the middle of the desert. First day, 50 birds, went okay. Second day, finished the first day, 50 targets. Me and Ed decided to go out that night. And we very much did go out. I thought for some reason that reading the schedule, I was meant to be shooting at 2 o'clock the next day. So I thought, this will be okay. We can have a bit of a lay in, get tidied up and come out to the ground. So we went on an absolutely massive bender. It ended up, we were in Mahiki's or something next door to our hotel, drinking cocktails out of a treasure chest. I think we were with Mark Windsor and Rachel at the time, actually. They were there, and Steve Scott and Charlotte Kerwood. So we're all having a nice time. Me and Ed then went to our bar and started drinking with Andy Clifton and Becky, who's got sporting targets. And we ended up getting absolutely shedded. Me and Ed stole a push chair and started doing high speed laps around the Burj Al Arab or whatever it was we were staying, which ended in this is the story. It ended in a load of carpet burns. Honestly, we were fucking each other. Got to bed, and my timetable was on the sort of bedside dresser, and I looked at it through one eye. Oh God, this can't be right. I shouted over to Ed, who had a sweet thing there. I said, have a look at this. And instead of being on at 2 o'clock, I'd obviously looked at the wrong day. It was on at 8 o'clock. And bearing in mind, I think we got in at 4:30. So feeling like absolute death, managed to get in the taxi out into the scorching hot desert, got there, first layout. I think I shot a 12 or a 13. This was out of 25, which, bearing in mind,
not even keeping it legal.
It was hard. It wasn't that fucking hard. Thankfully, managed to somehow get over that. Shot the second half of the day okay. The next 100, I obviously woke up for, because the following 2 days, I was just on an absolute blind. I shot fantastic. And we kind of worked it out. I think that layout, the scores will be somewhere, that layout cost me a place in the super final. It was the difference between the $5,000 that I did win and something like 35 or 40 grand if you got into the super final and pretty much hit half of them. That was my probably worst example of going out on the piss. There's a couple more, but I'll not bore you with them. Or
why did they stop
myself
doing that competition? Just costing them too much.
The honest answer is not the cost. That they're not short of cash over there. I think the bit that I heard, whether it's true, was a little bit twofold. The guy got pissed off with people moaning. I mean, when you saw the amount of effort that went into this, I've been some fairly decent sort of corporate level entertainment things, not shooting based necessarily, but just various stuff. This shoot blew them out of the water. It was phenomenal. The infrastructure they had to put into the desert, the money, the effort, it would have cost them tens of millions of quid one way or another, just putting the roads and everything in. The prize money they put up, there was $1 million prize money total. The first year they gave you your entry fee back. They subsidized your flights. They subsidized your accommodation. They couldn't have made it any better, any more of an event. It was phenomenal. And what made me laugh, you had people from the UK, mainly from the UK, sadly, openly bitching and moaning about it because they go, oh, well, I don't really like the targets. Oh, the targets are a bit hard. Oh, I don't like this lobster we've got for lunch. Oh, well, I don't like the fact that there's so much sand. You're in a fucking desert, you prick.
It's too hard.
What were you expecting? Yeah.
The crackers were free sandy too, weren't they?
Yeah, mate. Everything
you all shot the same ammunition.
You shoot the same. Ammo provided. They were giving away iPhones. They were giving away cars every day for free to people. Go, oh, yeah, yeah, have a Ford Raptor. Congratulations. It was just like nothing else we've ever seen. And there were people, and people who run shooting rounds in this country, and not especially nice shooting grounds, who were slagging it off openly, something chronic. And if I'd put a load of money into it, my first view of that would be, you know what, fuck you, I won't bother. And it lasted 2 years, and sadly, that was where it went. Whether that was the root cause of it, I don't know. There was some talk of there being a bit of politics involved behind the scenes as well. Yeah, it was a shame, because if you didn't go, I don't think anyone's ever going to see an event anything like that again, shooting-wise.
That's a bit of a shame. I would have loved to have got to that one. The desert's my thing. The heat is my thing.
Yeah, it was great, you know, and anyone who was surprised by the presence of sand and heat in the fucking desert, I'm afraid there's not too much you can say to that. Sand, though, isn't it?
So what was the qualifier?
Nothing.
You paid your entry. Yeah.
Yeah, you paid your entry in your first year. When you'd shot it, you went to the tent and they gave you it back. Wow. It was $250. You paid for it. You got there. You did your shooting. You go to the tent with your entry ticket. They go, there's your $250 back. Cheers, guys.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you for your support. I mean, when you see people charging you £1.20 for a cup of piss warm tea and a polystyrene cup at some of the shooting grounds,
bargain.
It does make you kind of think, maybe you all should have shut up and just said thank you, because you know, there's, I mean, from a competitor's perspective, I shot both times, shot okay, and came away with like reasonably well down the prize for like $5,000 or $7,000 a go in
US
dollars.
They were actually making it possible to start if that was replicated to make a living off of shooting.
Oh yeah, that's it. I mean, I think I can't remember what Gebben won first year. It was $100,000, $200,000.
Was it $100,000 or $200,000?
It was a lump of money that where you go, actually, if you did this once or twice a year, you start going, there's a legitimate income to be made from this if you apply yourself. Whereas, you know, take that out of the equation, nothing. And that's one of the reasons last few years just haven't bothered shooting, because even if you get free shells, free entry, free clays, and you've got to go there, you're still losing money really, because you're not working and there's nothing to get out of it. So where's the encouragement?
There is always going to be. It is impossible to put a shooting event on without everybody and their uncle pissing and moaning about it. Like it's the second favourite pastime. Like it really is.
Yeah, and that was just the sort of the perfect example of that. You've been given a free entry, free cartridges, free food and drink for 5 days, an opening ceremony that would have cost millions, and that is not a throwaway comment. The opening ceremony would have cost millions to run. And, you know, chucking money away left, right and centre, and you've still got people there bitching and moaning, oh, well, we had lobster for lunch. I don't really like lobster.
You can't get egg and chips.
Should have brought your gluten-free sandwiches, you prick.
Yeah, it's just a real sad. It's just a sad outlook on us, really, as shooters. You'd have thought people would have, even if you didn't, for whatever reason, if you didn't like the target, if you didn't like his lobster, if you thought maybe it was a bit sandier than you were hoping for, or it wasn't the same temperature as it is in Skegness, you might have thought you'd have shut up and said, thank you very much, that was an incredible event. You know what? The targets were too hard for me, which they were for a lot of people. But who cares? We're all shooting the same stuff. It's registered. It's getting away from... I thought it was a real nice change to get away from this current trend of everyone setting up bullshit incoming corporate targets so every man and his dog can go and shoot a 90 and tell everyone on Facebook how good they are, and then they go and piss and moan when they go to a British Open and shoot like an absolute drain. What are you expecting?
There is a money aspect though, right? People like to shoot well and they don't like to spend money on training or, you know, anything like that. If they can go to a grand where they consistently shoot 90, and we see it from our side all the time, we get shooters coming saying, oh yeah, I'm like a 90% shooter, and then you see them out shooting, you go, No, you're not.
Just
go to the same piss pot straw bale wank every time and come away thinking you're a god, when actually you're just average.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting to see people's perspective on you know, on where they sit and things, because I do obviously quite a lot of work with Ed Lyons, and we do have sort of joint customers who we share between each other, and you'll find quite a lot of times people's perception of their average isn't necessarily backed up by their average. So, oh yeah, the fact, if you've got a trap shooter or you've got a sporting shooter, the number of people that go, oh yeah, I'm sort of 80 to 85 average, so I'm, you know, double A, bordering triple A. You look them up on the CPSA site and they've once shot an 85. Well, that's not an average. That means one day you did it. And unfortunately, you're only fooling yourself, because you're going to get found out sooner or later, especially if you come in for lessons.
But the last thing you want to try and do is bullshit your coach. It's a really common delusion in a lot of people that, like, a PB is a PB for a reason. And they think, well, I've shot an 85, now I should be shooting 85 all the time. No, you shot an 85 because you're having a purple day. Be happy that it's you're not shooting a linear 70s, you know what I mean? Like,
it's not a linear progression. You don't go, well, I've hit 85 today, so in theory, next weekend, I'll shoot 86. Yeah. It would be lovely, but if that was the case, within 100 shoots, even if you started off missing everything, everyone would be shooting 100 straight, and clearly that's not the case.
Yeah, I mean, anyone shot 4, his average is 2, you know what I mean? He can't say.
That's his yearly pigeon count.
No, one of those is an enforcer.
Chop their feet off, you fit more in. You can stack them.
Come on, Johnny. You must have a good story about where you got a little bit too intoxicated the night before.
I've got a few. None of them, like, I always just get a bit reclusive when I'm home, so I don't do anything too stupid. But probably one of the worst public ones, Ed was probably there. The whole cartridge had a 75th anniversary shoot at Racethorpe Flyers.
I wasn't there. I think I was out the country coaching or something, but I Yeah, I have to miss that. So
this,
go on, tell
this
me.
Was he wasn't there because he knew you were going to be there.
This was like a thing for those little people who got invited to make ourselves feel a little bit better. All the big deals were off out in the other countries. Yeah, so it was quite a sweet thing. Whole pot of really good do. Really nice. Went to a hotel, had dinner, then went out the next day and shot at Raythorpe Fly, which is a big sim clay place, but probably one of the nicest, most corporate clay places out there. They put on a really, really good day. They do a good job. Like, it's professional. And to be fair, I think I was the last one in the bar with two of the whole cartridge staff. And I got back and there's all the photos, there's a professional photographer there the next day. And there's photos everywhere of me just looking even more squinty eyed and hellish than usual. It was a bad, long day of shooting. That's all. It was one of those days that I should have, with all of these very famous people, apart from Ed Solomons, put a little bit of effort in and not got hammered. But it's a test of who's at the bar last. That's always the game, right?
As long as you won that.
That is the game. As long as you win,
man.
Yeah, I'm not going to win the shooting. I was never going to win the shooting, but I could definitely win
the bar last. Australia. We've got a club where you actually win a T-shirt if you're the last one around the fire.
I could actually win something.
You could win something.
It's not a wild story. I have worse, but I can't divulge those right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be too many people keen
under
to
active investigation.
It's how you put stuff forward, which is really going to make them look bad.
How
Eddie,
Bruce,
tell us about that
question.
Prostitute you killed.
Allegedly killed.
Mate, I'm the same as Eddie. I've got hundreds. I do this for the love of the fun that goes with clay target shooting, not the actual clay target shooting. So most of my stories involve something like that.
I use that as an excuse because I'm shit. You're actually quite good at clay shooting. So
I'm going to give you a couple of examples. One where I did go out till 4 a.m., got up in the morning, shot the hardest course of the Nationals and shot a 24. Now, I had to have someone push me back in the hoop. So,
is that euphemism? You might want to keep that to yourself.
So that just dispels the myth that you actually shoot terrible. No, it was 75 targets that day, and it went 24-20-16 as the hangover kicked in. But we'll keep that to ourselves. I may have got a little bit drunk in Queensland one time out with a few shooters and licked a species of toad just for a little bit of giggles, just for a laugh. It didn't turn out well. I'm just going to say that. Don't do cane toads, kids. Don't do cane toads.
Just remember,
I feel sorry for the toad.
Yeah. Probably it wasn't even the toad's back he was licking. It took him fucking ages to get around to that bit.
Oh, exactly. The good toad's back tastes disgusting.
It's definitely that's not something I would ever do it again, but it's happened. So, oh well.
Did you take the toad for a drink afterwards?
Absolutely not. No way.
Oh, what?
You didn't buy dinner or nothing?
Nothing. Lloyd, you're up.
I'm up. Mine's pretty dull, if I'm honest. It would have been the Essex Masters the last time I shot it, which would have been the year before last, obviously, but there was one last year. And we were all in the same hotel. I mean, I think all of the hotels around that area were all bunged out with shooting. And they ran out of gin. And I don't drink beer. Beer makes me violently ill. And I'm not a massive drinker. These days, it's years since I was really mortal.
Go back to the bottle of scotch that you've just demolished.
Yeah.
Next year.
Yeah. Well, I did have a good reason.
Yeah. No, you did. You did, mate.
So they ran out of gin, which was rubbish. And well, I mean, they had Gordon's, but that's not gin. That's fucking paint thinner. So I was drinking red wine, and I'm not a huge red wine drinker. It tends to cause me issues. And the next day I wasn't very well. We shot it over 2 days. And we were told by the staff at the shoot, if you turn up early, we'll slot you in as soon as we can. So we had like a registered shoot time at like 11 or whatever. But we turned up like first early doors, got up early, first Paris Fort, rocked down there, and then just sat there like twats for hours in the freezing cold wind, sick as a bloody chip. And then just sat there for hours and hours, nursing a hangover when in a place I didn't want to be, just sat in a pissing chair in the cold wind.
In a nice marquee on a plastic chair.
Yeah, pretty much.
thinking about life.
Marty faced. looking down the hill at the pool stand where some guy must have done a month's salary doing the pool stand over and over and over again. I mean, to the point where we were like shouting abuse at him down the hill. And then went on to shoot. And honestly, I shot the first day great, second day absolutely shot like a twat. I just wasn't into it by then. I was cold, I was tired, I was headache. Blech.
I hate it when you're so hungover, you're scared to pull the trigger because you don't like loud bangs.
Because it's going to hurt, yes.
Feel it rattling around in your head.
Oh, literally. Yeah, it's the worst.
When the trapper turns around to you and says, did you see something off that? Was that a no bird? You said, no, mate, I just really didn't want to pull the trigger. He didn't even shoot at it.
Hey, stand there for fun. Are you going to shoot, Paul? Oh, in a minute.
Yeah, maybe.
Let me just muster the courage a second.
Yeah.
Just put me down for a zero.
Yeah. Is that a no bird?
I'll save the money.
Anyway.
Here's 8 shells, give it to a junior.
What, the shells? Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
So, folks, drinking and shooting do not mix. And you shouldn't.
Absolutely not.
Oh, it's a given. Yeah, no, it's very dangerous.
I'm far too old for it now, anyway.
We can
too
tell.
Fragile. Thank you.
By your hair.
What hair product do you use, Ed?
I use my own eggs. It's the only thing that holds it still.
Oh, my God.
As you like. For
fuck's sake, Ed Solomon. are you going to be sending any of your product out? Because I'm in the market for some new hair products.
It's very, very expensive, but I'm
more
sure
quantities.
I can knock something
is it because it's
you.
Such a? Is it because like the top end of the applicator is cut off?
Ed, I think it would be remiss of us if we didn't perhaps mention your eyewear brand.
Oh, thank you very much.
Please,
It's been 20 minutes since someone mentioned it, so I thought we'd give it a rest. it's. Just the cut of my pants. By all means, everyone, both people who are listening, if you're still here, go over and have a look at edwardseyewear.com or check us out on Facebook or Instagram. It's myself and Ed Lyons have set up a little business where we're flogging a few sunglasses and regular glasses and bits and pieces. So all handmade stuff, nice, sustainably sourced, responsibly made and all that kind of stuff that you have to be now. Give us a look, give us a like, give us a follow, give us some orders. We're open to it all.
Is it just
how
is
many
it
followers
all prescription
you have to have to get a
no,
free
no,
pair?
No, 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 no. I would say... probably 80% of what we do is not prescription, so ready to wear sunnies. But we've got a lab set up for doing prescription stuff as well, so we can do like reading glasses, prescription sunglasses. Because if you're four eyed like me,
did you not
unless
tell me
wear,
once before, Ed, you've made a set of frames out of a K80 stock for someone?
Yes,
wooden frames.
Yeah. We have made a set of wooden frames. He's probably listening to this at some point. Mark Fox has got the first pair of Krieghoff stock-based Blenheims he's got. So handmade in England. There's only one, there's two of them because there's one other pair. They're pretty unique. They're pretty cool. So all made in England, all done bespoke, made to measure. It's a pretty cool product. These are the ones I've got on are made out of buffalo horn. So we've got sustainably sourced buffalo horn and we can within reason do what you like. But we've also got a slightly more sensible price point. Yeah, they're very nice, your ones, Eddie.
Thanks, mate. Thanks.
I just want to know how do you give a buffalo a horn to make glasses out of it?
I'll have to.
What you've got to do,
you've
got
to go
not very, ginger.
You've just got to go in very, very gently and have soft hands.
Ah, righty, eh?
Nibble its ear. So, yeah, there's your plug, kids.
You'll make glasses out of anything. To be fair.
Within reason, yeah, the English, so we've got a guy hand-making stuff as for bespoke stuff in the UK, which within reason we can make glasses out of anything.
That sounds like a challenge.
Yes, as long as it's structurally possible.
We've got
a factory over in Milan doing our handmade Milan products, or our handmade Italian products, which are all bioacetate, so friendly, don't kill any dolphins, where you can pay extra and kill as many as you like. We can do that as an extra service. And we're just in the process. We've got a factory in Japan now doing some solid titanium aviators. And we're just, we've got the product.
Are they not hard to see through?
Yeah, exactly. They're incredibly impact resistant. So you can shoot them as much as you like. Right. And they, yeah, the bonus, the downside of it is you can't drive in them or shoot. But yeah, they're pretty cool. We're just trying to all work out the import duty issue we've got at the moment, which is a little bit troublesome. But yeah, the product's ready to go. So we're just pretty much waiting to pull the trigger on getting those over to the UK, which will be 3 months from now, if we're allowed to bring them in.
So if I was to send you my prescription, you could make glasses and incorporate that into it?
If you send me your prescription and a load of money, I will make you whatever you like, Eddie.
Brilliant, because I've really wanted my Viagra put into the stem of my glasses. It'd be really fucking nice, but I'm not sure if I still get them on prescription or not. I'll have to double check. Thanks anyway, David.
I suppose if you chop one in half, you can then sort of apply it to either side, so you don't need two.
Oh,
unless
brilliant.
You want it to stand
cool.
out. Another money-saving tip there.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
You can have one made out of one of your Enforcer decoys, Ed. You send him an Enforcer decoy, they can make you a set of frames.
Yeah. I need them from Instagram posts.
Is there anything else that you get into apart from shooting? We're all here to talk about anything else.
Fishing. I love my fishing.
You're a fisherman.
Blow the thing.
Yeah, not that interesting to a lot of people. Something that people may be a little bit more interested in, bearing in mind this is vaguely shooting related, during the lockdown, last year or so, actually, to be fair, I've got quite into my catapult shooting. A friend of mine, Wayne, makes catapults. Catty Shack, give him a follow. He's a good lad, and he's got a cracking little business set up there. And for something that is just dirt cheap that you can practice in your garden, and you can legitimately go out and, you know, when you're good enough, hunt rabbits, pigeons, crows, the lot. It's awesome fun. And it's fantastic for shooting iPhones as well. So give them a go.
Any phone, really. I mean,
yeah, I can only speak from an iPhone because that's right. as far as my experience goes. But I'm sure if someone wants to give me a Samsung or a Huawei, whatever they're called, I'll bang one of those in half as well.
And then shoot it with a catapult.
They're best pronounced in a Geordie accent. Where would you say, howie?
Howie. 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 I was trying to do it in a non-racist way. But I'm glad you've crossed that bridge for me.
Neighbour. So, in terms of questions that we got from listeners, I have only two that I thought were worth bringing up. One, and this one may spark a bit of a debate. So, given the general trend, I'm quoting a question here, by the way, this is not my view. Given the general trend of wokeness at the moment, do you think the time is running out for field sports?
I wouldn't like to put a time scale on it, but unfortunately, if you look at the direction that it's gone with or going with things like still shot and the general approach of most people. Now, you just need to look at how many people are making a fuss about people eating sustainably sourced meat or just doing something that they don't agree with, which most people, I thought, were grown up enough to go, oh, someone's doing something I don't necessarily like, but that's fine, I'll let them get on with it. That doesn't seem to be an option for people now. It seems to be, I don't like this, so I'm going to bitch and moan about it for the rest of my life and try and stop everybody else enjoying it. I don't think it's heading in a good direction. I think maybe some of the governing bodies are a little bit too reactive as opposed to proactive on that front, which is a little bit political, but it's kind of how I see it. I hope I'm wrong, but I've got some friends who are fairly heavily invested in the game shooting side of things, as in that is their main business, be it rearing birds, running shoots, whatever. And they're not comfortable. They're not confident saying that their sons and daughters will be doing this, you know, when they've got a little bit older. Which I hope is wrong. I certainly think there's going to be some fairly big changes. Quite what the changes are, I don't know, but I can't see it carrying on unchallenged and unchecked.
I'd come at this from another direction slightly. I think with regards to like the big game shoots, like the big driven game shoots, and grouse shooting, I can see. there needs to be a significant change, I think, in the way that that's marketed and viewed. Otherwise, it's just going to be under constant pressure. But when it comes to, like, okay, so there's an argument at the moment that, everybody should stop eating meat because meat is a massive contributor to global warming. Well, all right then, but to me, the only people who should be allowed to eat meat are people that shoot it themselves. Because that's meat kicking around. It's not been farmed.
Yep.
If I can shoot it myself, butcher it and eat it, happy days. You know what I mean? Yeah, that has had zero environmental impact.
Who's saying this, though? It's the 0.2 of a population that is.
Yeah, but it's a noisy 0.2 of a population. And bear in mind, our Prime Minister's missus is a screaming auntie, as far as I'm aware.
Johnny, you must have an opinion on this, the field sports dying off. Surely. You've got an opinion on everything else.
A week and a half.
You're lost for words for once, mate. Wow,
you've put him in the huff.
I would agree with all parties that it will not look like it does now in 10 or 20 years. But if you go back to 10 or 20 years, it didn't look anything like it looks now. I think we'll probably upset a lot of people, but there's a lot of greed that goes on, especially we're talking about driven game shooting with pheasants. There's a huge amount of greed out there. And I think that has shown by the sheer quantity and growth in the sector. I think that all of the good that some gamekeepers do is being milked by a lot of gamekeepers who do no good and a lot of shoots who do not do the good that others do. And I can see, honestly, why some people find certain aspects of our sport a little bit distasteful. So I think a branding change and a certain change of things that we do wouldn't be a bad thing. What that looks like? Well, we definitely don't have time to go into that without Eddie blowing his horn.
So I've got a quick question just on the back of what you said there. I don't disagree with it at all. When you talk about greed, you talk about size of bags or other aspects?
Capacity of ground to hold quantity of birds, not necessarily size of bags. See, I don't have a problem with someone going shooting 500 birds. Like, fine. That is technically fine. What I do have a problem is either somebody putting down enough birds that actually their ground has just turned into a chicken farm, and yet they still milk the conservation aspect. In fact, I saw a video recently of somebody going shooting at a very well-known, very good shoot who puts down a lot of birds, and they're talking about the conservation work they do. And I, to be honest, I just sat there shaking my head because actually that's not entirely true. We should always be looking for a net biodiversity gain with any of these things. Not, again, that there should technically be an issue with just turning it into a chicken farm because it's their land and they should be able to do what they're doing.
Do you not think, though, that, like, as a group, as a sport or whatever, we need to start being a bit more self-aware about this and actually not ignoring the elephant in the room sort of thing? You know, that we know this is a thing, but we just ignore it.
The problem is that greed aspect coming out again, because if I owned a farm and someone said, well, it's not illegal to release 100,000 pheasants on your 500 acres, and you can make a lot more money than if you released 500, I think there's a lot of people out there who would struggle to turn down that profit when the work involved is relatively easy by comparison to other ways of making that quantity of money.
But it's a very short-term view, though, isn't it? If you say, right, I'm going to make a fantastic profit for the next 3 to 5 years, but then game shooting is going to get binned because somebody's filmed me on their iPhone, you know, pitching 1,000 pheasants into a bloody landfill.
I mean, that sort of stuff, that needs to get absolutely, you know, stamped out from within our own ranks for sure. There was something that was sort of a discussion that we had a while back about, I think it was on Instagram, about bag size and how, you know, sort of there seemed to be a magic number of above, I can't remember if it's 400 or 500, where it suddenly seems to be, you know, morally unacceptable. And go, well, from my perspective as a shooter, as someone's involved in the industry, as long as the birds get used, so whether they go and get, you know, go to a game dealer, get taken into the food industry, I'm not going to sit there and tell you I'd sooner shoot 100 bird day than a 5 or a 6 or a 700 bird day. Of course I fucking wouldn't. I'm there to shoot. I enjoy shooting. If someone said to me, you can go and shoot with a team of guns that you like on 100 bird day or a 500 bird day or a 1,000 bird day at a venue I wanted to be at, I'm always going to take the bigger day because I want to shoot. I'm not going to go, oh, I've shot two, that's enough for me. You know, there's a time and a place, and we'll all do little knock around days with your mates where you are just going to pick and choose and shoot one here and one there. That's absolutely fine. But for someone to sort of, or for people to try and say it's morally acceptable to shoot a bag of 200, but not 300. Now, well, that's kind of not how it works. And as long as the birds are going in, you know, I'll always take a couple of birds back. I'm not a big game eater. I will always take a couple of birds back. But in reality, what I shoot in a day, I am not going to be eating that week. If you work out how many game birds I'll shoot on an average week in the season, there is absolutely no chance I'm going to be eating all of that. I couldn't possibly. If I ate it breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it doesn't matter in my mind. As long as someone's eating it and it's going somewhere, that is fine.
That's the key thing.
The problem is that people aren't actually doing that.
Yeah, but we need to stop being honest about it.
And I completely need, you know, from inside, we need to make sure that that is absolutely stamped out. And the birds go somewhere where they're getting used, whether it's even if they're getting given away for free, but they're going into the food chain, fine, doesn't matter. As long as they are going into the food chain and not being binned off somewhere, because that is, whichever way you look at it, that is completely unacceptable. And I don't think there's anyone that thinks that is okay.
No, we do not stop being honest. And when I say that, I mean, start thinking about, like, there seems like, oh, this is ethically sourced and blah, blah, oh, bollocks. You're there because you enjoy shooting, right?
100%.
You know what I mean? I'm not there to like, oh, well, these animals would die without, you know, of starvation if it weren't for me. I'm, you know, putting them out there, bollocks. You're there because you enjoy shooting. Admit that to yourself.
This is what pisses me off. This is what pisses me off the most, is that as hunters and shooters, you're almost made to feel guilty for wanting to do it.
Yeah.
And it's bullshit because I love a good shoot. Okay, yeah, all the fucking freezer jokes and all that bollocks to one side.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the hunt. I love the kill and I love the food. But I shouldn't be made to feel guilty for wanting to do it. The food is top quality. It's great. Yeah. It's ethically, I can't even be fucked to say ethically sourced anymore. It's fucking tiring, isn't it?
But it is. It is sustainable, right? It is a completely sustainable food source.
And here's a question for you, Joe.
Well, no different to chicken is a very sustainable food source if you hatch enough chickens and kill them.
Yeah. You say sustainable. It is. It's like
pigeons are a sustainable food source. Deer is pigeons. A sustainable food source.
Yeah, yeah.
A pheasant is not a sustainable food source any more than a chicken is because you are putting it there to kill it, to eat it. Like, what's sustainable about it? It's no different.
In fairness, I was more thinking about the stuff that Eddie shoots rather than...
Well, yeah.
Sustainably sourced clouds.
Johnny.
Eddie, we nearly got through it without...
You wait till next week or I'm not fucking hungover. You're going to have it, mate, all right? Frick.
I look forward to
it. When's Eddie never not hungover?
You know, I'm actually going to go teetotal after last night's efforts. You boys are all going to get fucking... Yeah, pricks. Except you, Ed. You're lovely, Ed. You haven't been horrible to me yet, but there's still time.
Yeah, give it time. Also, I won't be coming back next week, so it doesn't matter.
Or ever again.
Yeah, exactly.
Once bitten, twice shy.
Fair enough. So one of the other questions I've been asked this week is on the subject of eye dominance. Now, I appreciate that we could literally make an entire podcast about this and it would be 4 hours long and
no one would listen.
And we wouldn't reach a conclusion. However, since we have a man who is involved in an eyewear company and knows Ed Lyons, perhaps he might have some input.
What's the question regarding eye dominance?
The chap that contacted me said that his coach had advised him, he's a right-handed shooter, left eye dominant, and his coach had basically said, right, sack it off, get yourself a left-handed gun. End of discussion. And he was asking me, like, well, what do you think? And I was like, well, I don't know, I've never seen you shoot. Eye dominance is a really complicated subject. There is no one cookie-cutter result for everyone, right?
Yep.
It's such a broad subject, and many, many solutions exist.
Sum it up in 5 minutes, Ed, that would be great.
Well, my wife wears a wee patch on her left lens of her shooting spec.
A wee patch? Is that like a tenor lady thing?
Yes, it is. Just a little patch of semi-transparent tape of a one eye that just obliterates the barrel.
Yep.
So she can't see it with her left eye. That works for her. So she's still got the binocular vision. She can still see field of vision.
Yep.
But just the one bit is cut out. That works for her. But it doesn't work for everyone.
Yep. I think trying to just keep this brief because it's such a massive, massive subject. And the other side of it is as well, until you see somebody, the first thing I would say is, oh, I've been told I'm left eye dominant. The number of people that I see each week when we're allowed to go out that tell me they've been told they're left eye dominant and they're not, because the person that's doing the check doesn't understand what they're looking at and doesn't, with the best one in the world, have a fucking clue. And this is where a lot of these sort of the various aids and solutions and stuff are relevant, but they're only relevant if you are actually having a true cross-dominance issue. And a lot of people misunderstand the results. They do a test and go, oh, well, you're left eye dominant. I would first off tell your mate, get someone who knows what they're on about to check it, because that is something that gets misdiagnosed every day of every week and by people that should know better. Also, it depends how early on. If he's just starting off, swapping shoulders is no big drama because he's not got the muscle memory. And if he is truly left eye dominant and he's just starting out, yeah, swap, buy a left-handed gun, learn to shoot off your left shoulder. You'll have a pain barrier of a few months and you'll get on far better. A lot of people will be further down the road. They don't want to make that jump. It's a big, big change, changing from left to right or right to left. There's probably half a dozen options depending on how strong the cross dominance is, from shutting an eye, which is sort of the most OTT version, to dimming an eye halfway through the shot, to a patch, to a, you know, fiber optic sight, to all sorts of different stuff. But the first thing is actually understanding where someone's eye dominance is coming from and recognizing that, unfortunately, the ability of most people to truly understand what they're looking at is on a par with or one level worse than dog shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a complicated subject and it's not something you can fix with a over the counter.
Yeah. Swapping shoulders is a legitimate thing. If someone's super, super left eye dominant, then there's always going to be a limit to what you can do to get the right eye working. It's going to involve some sort of occlusion or, as you say, swapping them over. And one of the things, just a very quick one, which seems to be a completely massive misunderstanding, is people go, oh, I can't shoot with two eyes open because I see two barrels. That's not cross-eye dominance. That's completely normal. When you start getting the wrong eye, using the wrong barrel, that's when you've got a problem. But that is completely normal. And that's one of the things that really pisses me off with. So, oh, I've been sold this because I've been told that I'm left-eye dominant. Yeah. You're not. You've just been sold some snake oil bullshit. You can actually shoot with two eyes open fine if you understood what it was that you were looking at.
Yeah.
And that's a real pet peeve of mine. So I hate seeing people having their pants pulled down, unless I'm doing it, in which case, you know,
good then luck. Then it's fine.
Pants away.
Buying a Krieg.
Exactly. I'll try and do it.
Is there a basic test you can do at home that you would say that's trustworthy enough to dictate whether you are right or left or dominant? Is there something you can share with us? Or do you think it's something that needs to be diagnosed by a professional first?
I think it's a combination of I don't think I would ever say there's one test that I'd want people relying on, because there's different degrees of it, and each test does test a different aspect of it. So
give us three then.
All right, yeah, fine. So for example, one of the ones that people always do, they've got a CD or they've got that little hole in their hands and they bring it back. That gives you a black and white answer. That's the one. That will give you an eye. That will give you left or right. It doesn't show you whether you've got a degree of cross dominance, so whether you've got a bit of work coming from your left, a bit of work coming from your right, sort of an intermediate pull if you've got central dominance. That doesn't give you any answer. That just gives you an answer. That's the probably the one I would use the least.
If you don't have a CD or you can't do that, an old used foreskin will also work.
Yes, it just depends how big it is.
Yeah.
Mine, you can't see through mine. It's sort of like you would struggle to get a needle through it.
I struggle to think anything of yours is tight, Ed.
Moving on.
I like to think of it as relaxed. The one that I would use most, which you ideally need and you need another person to do for you, is where you get someone to stand sort of four or five paces away from you. They shut an eye and you have both eyes open, raise one of your arms up and point at their open eye. You're then relying on the person that you're pointing at to then be able to understand what they're seeing. And basically, it's going to be, this is going to be absolutely useless for your listeners, but for you guys, if I was to raise up my finger, as you can see, it's coming underneath my right eye on the camera. So that's showing in this case that this eye here is doing the work. If it was to come up to here, it would show you that that eye is doing the work. If it was if it was true central vision, it'd be here.
That's the one
and
I
if
use.
It was, yeah. So if it's, you know, left eye, right eye, central, and then degrees of pull. So you might find someone comes here, it's neither central nor left, but you're going to take that information and then start using that to find go through your list of options to yeah. find what's going to work best for that person. Say this could just degenerate into a massive long conversation, which I know no one wants. But
is that worthwhile doing at different points in that person's day, whether they're tired,
yeah,
they're hydrated,
hydration, stress levels, all sorts of stuff goes into it. So yeah, you can go nuts on that. But yeah, this could degenerate very quickly. Here it comes.
Eddie can't see through either eye at the minute. That's option two.
I'm ever so sorry, Eddie. You're going to find this very hard.
I might go for a really slow piss.
Give it one for me. The next thing is looking at someone mounting a gun and actually how they shoot. So again, rather than making sort of changes indoors in a fixed environment, which is a bit false, you might find some of the tests that you do indoors with pointing and looking at people's eyes. You go out on the range, and when they've got their gun there, it becomes something completely different. That can be a combination of poor gun fit. It can also just be a case of when they've got a great big 32-inch piece of metal in front of their face, their brain starts operating in a different way. So seeing how someone mounts the gun and puts it up and seeing the picture that they see down it and how they then translate that into shooting, that's another thing. So again, it's a combination. And just to say this is the way of doing it or this is the test to use is massively oversimplifying it and generally speaking gives you a false or incorrect.
It's horses for courses, isn't it? It's you adopt the method to fit the situation.
Exactly that. And it's the same thing with you've got someone shooting a crosser, you can teach them four different ways to shoot it. The answer, your job as a coach is not to teach someone to shoot the target how you shoot it. It's to get the student to find the best, most repeatable method for them to break the target. And you will find as a cross section of people, you'll get one guy who shoots it really, really well with swing through, one guy who shoots it really well with maintain, one guy who shoots it really well with pull away and so on. And you've got to work with that to find the best option for them rather than just saying, do this.
Chaps, if you are looking for a coach, find one that understands that. Because the number of coaches out there think that there is my way and no other way.
I fucking hate that.
There are so many different ways of doing things. And if you find the coach that understands that piece of information and understands how to apply it to you, then you're
going to
be coach.
This is a conversation me and Bruce had a chat about, I think, earlier this week. And if you... This was coming back to what's going on the website. If you take a cross-section of some of the students that I've got and you say, right, we're going to get three really, really high-level shooters who have won, you know, whether it's national or world or international events, and you look at them and go, technically, they're all exceptional shots. We've got three or four of them who do things completely differently. You know, you've got Dave Ferriman, who's just won the British Open this year. He shoots a bit of everything. He shoots a bit of pull away, bit of maintain, bit of swing through. We've got him shooting less maintain lead on a lot of the smaller targets because he was having an issue dropping out in front of a lot of the closer stuff. So we've now got him into coming from the back edge of stuff. We've got Michael Hibbert, who is a almost exclusively swing through shooter initially. He won the British Grand Prix Fitas year before last, because last year we didn't do anything. He's largely swing through, but we started moving him into a bit more pull away. And then you've got Amy Eastman, who's the youngest ever world champion lady compact shooter. She shoots a vast majority of maintained lead, some diminishing lead, but on certain targets, we know it doesn't work. So we've got her to work in a little bit more pull away, a bit more connection with the target, and a bit more moving off the back edge. All of them in their own right are phenomenal shots, but what your job is as a coach is to get the person finding the method that works best for them. And the best analogy for me is watch George shoot a stand and watch Richard shoot the same stand. So George Digweed, Richard Foles. They're two of the two most successful sporting shooters that we're ever going to see. And you couldn't find people who have more opposing styles. The answer is not to say, well, George's is the right way, so we're going to teach Richard to shoot George's method, because that's bullshit. Richard's a phenomenal shot. And if you've got Richard trying to do George's stuff, he'd miss a lot more targets than he does now. And vice versa, getting George to shoot Richard's methodology, what you've got to recognize is they're all tools available to you. You have got to find the tool that you use best. I'm amazed I've got that far in without hearing that fucking hooter.
Honestly, that is some of the best advice I think we've had on the podcast so far. And it so jibes with what, you know, I've always said to people, when you're finding a coach, it's so important. It's so important to get that ability to adapt to you, because everyone's different. Everyone has a different style. Everyone, biomechanics are different. You cannot just say, this is the method. There you go. Go away. Shoot like that.
Yeah. Well, you could get Usain Bolt telling me how he runs all day, but yeah. I'm not fucking Usain Bolt.
No.
It ain't going to work for me. You're going
to
say, right.
There also needs to be an acceptance of the student to be able to learn these new methods too. They have to be able to go backwards to go forwards sometimes to say, right, well, I understand why that would work. I'm going to give it a red hot go. There could be some backwards movement to go forward. So it's a two-part puzzle, really.
Yeah, it's a trust thing you have to have with
100%. And it's also, it's part of your, as a coach, it's part of your job to explain why you need to change something. So if you're doing something that is causing, say you're shooting swing through all the time. Sorry, Eddie, I know you're getting close, mate. that's the closest you've come to a fucking kill this month, I should think. Hi-yo.
Love it.
Oh, you've made my very, very, very important train of thought, man. It's your job to be able to explain why something's not working and what the options are that's going to get you around that, and whether that's someone who's blowing in front of targets because they're starting out in front of close stuff and finishing in front of it. You say, right, this is what's happening, this is the tool we're now going to change to. Yeah, that's going to be hard. You know, getting someone who shoots maintain lead to naturally switch to swing through, where those two are sort of the furthest styles apart, that's going to be tough. But if you could explain to them, if you can go through the pain barrier, this is going to save you, I don't know if it's a double A, triple A shooter, this could save you three or four targets around. That's a massive improvement for them, whether they want to put the work in to get to it or not. Equally, sometimes you're a game shooter who comes and goes, you know, I know there's a load of stuff that's seriously wrong here. I just want to be able to hit 10% more birds than I am already. That's a case where you just go, fine, we're not going to rip you down. We're not going to start doing all sorts of changes and batting shit into you about, you know, changing your biomechanics and changing your gun completely. Let's just give you two or three things that are going to make you a bit better, because that's all that guy wants. Equally,
Eddie, you need to go speak to Ed about your game shooting. You could increase 10%, mate. That's two.
Yeah, 10% of fuck all.
Maybe two. Three.
Two.
Sorry,
to three.
Were you talking to me then?
That's a 50% increase, actually, Bruce, but I won't pull you up on your maths.
He's from Australia. Maths is not a strong point.
If you've got 2 years left on your sentence and then make you stop for another one.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very, very much. That was really, really good. Do we have any plugs we want to do? Has anybody got anything they want to plug? Has anybody got the Instagram accounts or YouTube channels that want that they think anyone should follow?
Yes.
I've got one at the minute. Go on, Eddie. Yep.
I'd like to blame and recommend Hex Cider Fun. that's all I've got to say on that matter. Thank you. Yeah, goodbye.
I've just finished my last bag. I'm going to have to put another order in. Yeah, they are very good, Eddie.
I know. Yes. You're welcome.
Hexcider is to blame for Eddie's presence today, or lack thereof.
I'll be back next time. Don't worry, folks.
Bruce, you got one?
I do. I've got a bit of a thing for taxidermy at the minute. It's a bit of an art. I do love taxidermy, so I'm going to shout out R.S. Douglas and Son Taxidermy, because they do some fine work, and I find it really interesting to watch the whole process.
Is that an Insta, YouTube?
That's an Instagram account, R.S. Douglas and Son. So very go over good. And check them out.
Yep. Ed?
Go and give the old eyewear brand a follow on Instagram. That'd be great. Go and have a look at the website. So it's Edwards_eyewear, I think, or edwardseyewear.com. Other than that, no, I think we're good. You can check out the new website that we've barely mentioned, which is going to be live in the next couple of weeks.
Wait a minute, you've done a new website?
I know you'll find this hard to believe. There's also going to be a pretty cool giveaway. And it's it's an actual giveaway where we're not giving away a shit T-shirt or a fucking whistle or something. So, yeah.
Is it a pair of glasses made from a shit T-shirt?
Or a whistle. I was going to say, I think we might have our next season's new look. No, there's going to be a... basically, all you're going to have to do is, once we've got it up and running, there's going to be a landing page on the website. I'm going to put this out there. I haven't made it public now, but why not? There's going to be a chance to win a full day's coaching at Grimsthorpe for you and a buddy. I will be covering off all of the clays. I'll be supplying all of the Hulk cartridges of your choice, down to the kind folks at Hulk Cartridge. So it's going to be £1,000 odd plus day out for somebody. So yeah, could be worth signing up for a 30 second.
Are you picking up lunch as well? Is that lunch included?
Not for you, you fat fuck.
I don't want lobster for lunch.
Yeah, the milky bars are on me.
I might actually enter that one because I could do with some fucking tuition. At least I can blame you when I hit fuck all, Ed.
Well, I'm not going to make you hit any less.
Ooh. Ooh. Johnny?
That's not a very nice thing. I'm going to cry for Eddie.
Brace yourself. This is be some spiritual bullshit now. Go on, Johnny.
I know. I wasn't actually going to put any spiritual bullshit. But now you've said that, I'm not going to recommend anything.
Oh.
Can you do a really nice sort of... motivational posts that I see so many completely unmotivational people on Instagram sharing, you know, so like everybody's fighting a fight you know nothing about.
I recommend going to Instagram and learning to feel very, very motivated that the world is a horrible place, but if you go to Instagram, it will make you feel like you're not the only one fighting the fight. Unless you go to Ed Solomon's page, where all you'll see is old photos of a man with a sharp beard.
Oh yeah! Hey, I had a shave this morning. This isn't looking bad.
Could we, before we go, do you reckon we could get an Ed Solomon anti-influencer rant? Would that be okay? Could we get one of those?
Oh, I'm
looking forward to this.
Given that Ed Solomon is in himself, everyone's an influencer.
Everyone's he was fucking 19 diggity do when he was fucking good at clay shooting.
Sit down and enjoy. Yeah, this is a I was never really that good at it, but I sort of got away with it, to be fair. Yeah, that's a bit of a bee in my bonnet. I absolutely detest all of this false bullshit of people that you actually know don't do any of this stuff, don't have any of it, and have obviously just got really cold, empty, dead lives they have to spend on Instagram trying to bullshit strangers into thinking that they've got something that they haven't, or they are someone that they're not. Just accept who you are. It might be shit, but it's what you've got, and get on with your fucking lives. Especially, I'm not finished, especially if you're in the shooting industry, because no one cares. It's a great fun thing. It's lovely. You can win as many world championships as you like, and you'll still walk down the street and be an absolutely nobody. Soon you will be dead. No one will miss you. Get on with it. Enjoy your life. Eat your chips quietly. Don't shoot some pigeons and stop tagging sock companies and t-shirt people that give you £2.50 off with a fucking discount code and you're willing to sell your ass for it. You make yourselves look like horrible humans.
Can I get an amen?
Away.
Can we get a slow clap there for Ed?
Amen, brother.
There he is. Ed for president.
Be happy in your own skin and love your life. Hashtag winning.
I'm going to tag you in every single discount code I ever post again.
Please, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at now.
I can't see anymore. Hashtag Ed's eyewear.
I'm pretty convinced that the next person that just approaches us for a free pair of glasses, we're going to send them a video of us setting fire to them and hitting them with a hammer. You know, we could have given these to you, but we've just chosen to burn them.
I was going to say... Ed, Johnny's quite a big deal on YouTube, and it could be quite good for your company if you were to give him some specs.
My eyes are not fashionable enough for his glasses. I'm a bit more like you, Eddie. Spec savers.
Texaco, mate. Texaco. Sorry.
Anything that detracts from the hair.
Mine or Johnny's or both?
Oh, that was good fun.
Right, chaps. Thanks very much, everyone. It has been great fun. I've been Lloyd Patterson.
I've been hungover.
I've been abused.
Yes, you
I've
have,
been in the past.
I'm still Ed Solomons.
Guys, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Are we fucking famous yet, or what?
Have a good night.
Ta-da.